Operation Pegasus has begun. Marines of the 2nd Battalion, 3rd Marine Regiment, and 2nd Battalion, 1st Marine Regiment are sweeping Route 9 towards Khe Sanh. I'm presently at Kalu, the base point for both regiments, speaking to 1st Lieutenant Dean E. Stepp of Columbus, Indiana. Lieutenant Stepp is the executive officer of Headquarters and Service Company for the 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines, now being stationed at Kalu, and also the civil affairs officer for the battalion. Lieutenant Stepp's job differs from many such civil affairs officers in Vietnam in that he works with the Montagnard, or mountain people of Vietnam. Lieutenant Stepp, can you tell us something about the Montagnard people and how they differ from the ethnic Vietnamese?
Is it on? The Montagnard people are very friendly people. And this in no way differs from the Vietnamese people, but they are more of a tribal type people in that they have a chief who is hereditary, the chief of the Montagnards in the Kalu area right now is the fourth generation chief. And this differs from the ethnic Vietnamese people in that the officials of the Vietnamese people are elected more in a governmental type status.
Well, Lieutenant Stepp, how primarily does your job as the civil affairs officer differ when dealing with Montagnard people?
In one aspect, it differs in the language problem. I have four Vietnamese interpreters, and the Montagnard language is totally different. In the Vietnamese language, it is just not a difference of accent or tone. It's a difference in vocabulary. And because of this, the only way I can make contact with the Montagnards is if the Montagnard people do speak Vietnamese. In most cases, contact can be made because the more educated, the more elder of the Montagnards do speak Vietnamese also, besides their own Montagnard dialect, and they then can speak to my Vietnamese interpreters, and in this process we can make communication.
Lieutenant, your job as civil affairs officer is primarily coordination between the Marine units in a Vietnamese or a Montagnard area and the Marines themselves. How do you work differently when you're working with Montagnards as compared with Vietnamese?
As I said before, the Montagnards do not have the elected officials per se as government officials. Therefore, it is more of an independent association. I don't necessarily need government officials from the district headquarters to work with me in making contact with the Montagnards. I can make contact with them myself, and then with my own interpreters, and then I can pass this on to the district and province headquarters. The Montagnards at present in their Vietnam status are more of an independent people. And each little village is an independent village. It is does not consider itself a part of the total whole of South Vietnam. Perhaps in future years this can come to be. This is certainly our goal at the present, to make them feel like they're a part of the total of Vietnam. But at the present, this is not the situation.
Well, for some of our listeners who perhaps have never seen a Montagnard tribesman, could you describe some of the physical differences between the Montagnard and the ethnic Vietnamese, and perhaps a bit of the history of the Montagnard people?
The Montagnard people basically came from the originally from the mountain area to the west of South Vietnam. Majority of them have lived in the mountain area for many, many generations, and many of them are just now coming down into the lowlands and into the valleys to make their living by farming. Most of the Montagnards that I have been associated with in Kalu Valley are strictly farming, are strictly agricultural in their livelihood. They are good farmers. They work hard. The children, the men, and the women all work in the fields all day long, and they raise good crops of corn, rice, sweet potatoes, and a few peanuts and tobacco. As a people, as far as actual looks, the Montagnards differ from the Vietnamese and anyone who has been associated with both ethnic South Vietnamese and Montagnards can tell the difference easily. The Montagnards are darker skinned, much darker skinned than the Vietnamese. They're approximately the same height and approximately the same weight. However, their facial features are possibly more square jawed. The bone features in the face are more square, and they keep their hair in a different manner. Many of them have long hair, and the children, they keep the hair very short on the children. The Montagnards in the mountain areas do not wear much clothing. However, the Montagnards in the Kalu area do wear clothing similar to the Vietnamese people of the more populated areas. However, most of this clothing has been given to them through civil affairs organizations and by the Marines who have operated in the area.
Lieutenant Stepp, one last question. In your opinion, how are the Marines of the 3rd Battalion, 9th Marine Regiment, getting along with the Montagnard people? Do you find any problems, and if so, can you describe them for us?
This is a good question, a question which I'm very pleased to answer. The Marines of 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines, have gotten along very well with the Montagnard people. The Montagnards have a village approximately 1,000 meters outside of our perimeter, and we have had friendly relations with these people for the 5 months that this battalion occupied this position. There have been no serious incidents, and both the Marines learned about the Montagnards learned about the Marines, and there was an exchange of goodwill on both sides. The Montagnards enjoyed our stay, and there were many meetings between the Marine officials of Kalu Base and the Montagnards outside the perimeter of Kalu Base. And the Montagnard chief himself expressed his deep regret when he found out that the Marines, the 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines, were going to leave this area. Different projects were accomplished while 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines were here, and the Marines helped the Montagnards in different ways, such as acquiring for them food commodities which they were not able to procure because of wartime conditions. And also the Montagnards expressed their appreciation for the Marines of this battalion by constructing for them a grass chapel which will seat approximately 150 Marines when it is finished. And this chapel is much appreciated by 3rd Battalion 9th Marines, and especially by the chaplain of 3rd Battalion 9th Marines.
Well, we want to thank you very much for speaking to us this afternoon. First Lieutenant Dean E. Stepp of the 3rd Battalion, 9th Marine Regiment, the Civil Affairs Officer. Operation Pegasus sweeping Vietnamese Route 9 to Khe San has come to a halt. The road is no longer... Operation Pegasus sweeping Vietnamese Route 9 to Khe San has come to a halt. The road is no longer clear. Members of the 1st Engineer Battalion have begun to find mines, and unusual mines at that. We're standing right now on a side road along Vietnamese Route number 9, and I'm speaking to Private First Class Alan W. Faust of Hackensack, New Jersey. Alan, You're with the 1st Engineer Battalion, and I see you're kneeling down next to this mine that one of your mine detectors has just discovered. Can you describe it for us?
This is an anti-tank mine. It's most likely made by the Chinese. It's around 3 inches deep and about a foot in diameter. It has a wheel-type firing device on the top. Any pressure on the outside of the wheel will set the mine off.
Well, Alan, how was this mine discovered exactly? Were you on a mine sweep, or can you tell us something about that?
The couple of guys in front of me that were using the mine detectors discovered the mine, and we did a little probing for it, and we found out that it really was a mine that the mine detectors had picked up.
Well, tell us something about the process you use in probing for this mine. What do you look for, and how do you keep it from going off right in your face?
Well, after the mine detector finds that there's gets a reading down there, come along with a bayonet and probe nice and easy until you find out if it hits something. And then you uncover the dirt nice and gentle until you find out what's down there.
Well, have you found many of this type of mine here on Operation Pegasus?
Well, outside the one that we just found a few minutes ago, we found one yesterday. And so far, that's it. But it looks like there's going to be a lot more along the way.
Well, you mentioned that this looked like it might be a Chinese communist type of mine. Have you ever seen this type of mine before?
Up until yesterday, I haven't. It seems to be a pretty new type mine for us.
Well, could you give us some of its characteristics? How does it go off? What kind of explosive do you think is in there? And what type of vehicle is it designed to destroy?
Well, I don't think it's designed to actually destroy a vehicle. It's just to disable one, time being. And it most likely blow a wheel off of a truck or maybe take a track off a tank and hold up the whole operation a while. And it takes probably around 200 pounds pressure or so to set it off.
What type of explosive do you think it's got in there?
No, I'm not sure. It could be composition B or something like that. That's what's in ours.
Well, I see you have a demolition block here next to you and a pair of crimpers and some fuse. I take it by that you're going to blow it in place. Would you tell us about how you're going to do that?
Well, we put a blasting cap on the time fuse and put it inside of the block of C4 and lay the C4 right over the top of the firing device. And that'll set it off.
Alan, you mentioned that you'd found two of these mines already off on this side road next to Route 9. How were they placed? How did the enemy seem to want to place them, and why did they place them that way?
Well, they placed them along the side of the road where they expect the vehicle wheels or tracks to pass over.
Well, this mine that we're looking at right here, it seems to be covered in plastic. Do you have any idea why they're doing that, or what's the story?
Well, I think they're covering in plastic and keep the mine from rusting away if it's here for a long time. It seems that they're covering most of their mines over.
Well, you mentioned also that it's a vehicular type of mine as opposed to an anti-personnel mine. Do you think then that the enemy was looking for us to bring tanks and heavy vehicles down this road and try to clear the way into Quezon?
I think so. This type of a mine is, like I said before, is to build to destroy, disable a vehicle. And doesn't have as much shrapnel as an anti-personnel mine. It's a blast-type mine.
Well, Al, maybe you can tell us why the enemy put this mine here on a side road as opposed to putting it out on the main part of Route 9.
Well, as you can see behind you, there's a bridge there that the enemy had blown earlier, and this is the bypass around that bridge. And if we were to, the only way we can get past the stream down here would be to come around this bypass, otherwise we have to build a new bridge.
So you think then that they put it over here expecting us to take the easy way and go down the bypass and thereby hit the mine, is that right?
Right. The enemy will always put the mine where they expect you to go to take the easy way out.
Alan, you're preparing your charge now to go ahead and blow this mine. How about describing for us what you're doing?
Well, I'm dual priming this block of C4 here in case the one blasting cap doesn't work. Otherwise, then we'd have to wait a half an hour to be safe, to make sure it doesn't go off in your face when you check it. Hope they're not. from down there. I'm putting a blasting cap on a time fuse.
You're putting the second blasting cap on now.
Right.
As Private First Class Faust puts the blasting cap on, he turns away and bends his helmet down. Before crimping the blasting cap, just in the precaution that the cap might go off.
Takes fingers off. These caps can be pretty sensitive sometimes. Sometimes a little jar will set them off, sometimes you can throw them off a cliff and nothing will happen. Now I'm making a hole in the C4 for the blasting cap to fit in. Clear on that side! Is it all clear over there?
Private First Class Faust is now beginning to light the time fuses on both ends of the demolition charge.
Yeah.
Fire in the hole.